الحمد لله رب العالمين، له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله، بلغ عن الله رسالاته ونصح له في برياته، جزاه الله بافضل ما جزى به نبيا عن امته، اللهم وعلى اله واصحابه وعلى من اقتفى أثره واتبع سنته ومنهجه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم ولا تجعل فينا ولا من بيننا شقيا ولا محروما. أسأل الله العظيم رب العرش العظيم أن يحرم هذه الجباه الراكعة الساجدة عن النار، وأن يبيضها يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. Continue, inshallah, where we stopped yesterday about the chapter 25 and among the best companions of all from all the nations, and this is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best of the companions are Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Uthman. We mentioned the hadith yesterday, and we said we'll do the commentary today, inshallah.
The best of generations is that in which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised, followed by those who came after them, and then followed by those who came after them. These are the best generations, and the best of the preferred generations are the companions radiallahu anhu, and the companions also exceed one another in merit. The best among them is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the one who believed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning, when he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came with a divine message. He, Abu Bakr, supported him, defended him, spent his wealth in support of him, and accompanied him till he died. Then he assumed the position of the Khalifa, the Caliphate, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He discharged his affairs in an excellent manner, and Allah strengthened the religion through him after the feet of the people were shaken due to the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah made Abu Bakr firm like the firmness of a mountain, till the ummah was made firm through him. Through him, the apostates and the disbelievers returned to Islam, and Islam became stabilized after the demise of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he passed away and was buried beside the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was his companion in life and death, as well as his companion in the cave. Allah the Most High says,
إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا.
When they, Muhammad and Abu Bakr, were in the cave, and he said to his companion Abu Bakr, "Be not sad or afraid, surely Allah is with us." He is therefore the best of the Ummah after Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, followed by Umar bin al-Khattab, the second Khalifa, and then Uthman, and then Ali radiallahu anhu. Those are the four rightly guided khulafa. Then the rest of the 10 preferred companions that were given glad tidings of paradise, and they are the four khulafa: Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Sa'd bin Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail, Talha bin Ubaidillah, Zubair bin Al-Awwam, Abu Ubaidah Amir bin Al-Jarrah, and Abu Abdurrahman bin Auf, Abdurrahman ibn Auf. These are the 10 people that were given the glad tidings of paradise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the glad tidings of paradise. Therefore, they are the best companions. The Prophet said,
in the hadith, as he mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Bakr, he mentioned the four khulafa by the names, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, radiallahu anhum, and wa Talha ibn Ubaidillah fil Jannah, these five. And then he went to the other five, which is, we should know all of them, which is Zubair ibn Awam, you know, his cousin, fil Jannah, and then he mentioned Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, his uncle fil Jannah, and Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayr fil Jannah, wa Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah fil Jannah. And these are 10 are guaranteed Jannah by the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Then after them, the companions who took part in the Battle of Badr. Then the companions that took the pledge.
Well, just quickly here, you know, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tidings for these 10, there are others who also have been given the glad tidings of Jannah. Not in this hadith, but from different hadith. So that also makes him among us those, you know, like we mentioned before, who? Ukasha.
Ukasha,
he said among, not only in Jannah, 70,000, from among the 70,000 will enter Jannah without hisab. So there are, if you look into the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, there are occasions where the Prophet ﷺ chose by name for certain people, and he mentioned about some companions, about their level in martyrs, and I mentioned Abdullah ibn Haram is one of them, which is the father of Jabir. I mentioned that before, that Allah SWT spoke to him without hijab when he martyred in Uhud, and so on.
Then after them, the companions who took part in the Battle of Badr, then the companions that took the pledge of Ridwan among the Muhajirun and the Ansar, then those who accepted Islam and migrated before the conquest of Mecca are superior to those who accepted Islam and migrated after the conquest. So the companions, radiallahu anhum, exceed one another in virtue depending on their precedence in Islam as well as their status in it. The companions, radiallahu anhum, also have a general merit that none other than them can attain, which is accompanying Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hijrah, migration from Mecca to Medina. So the Muhajirun are superior to the Ansar. This is a general merit for them all. None can attain it among those who came after them. They are the best and the most virtuous of all generations, radiallahu anhu. Therefore, whoever defames or hates them is a disbeliever in Allah, because Allah commanded them, praised them, and chose them to accompany His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who defames the companions or declares them as disbelievers or disparages them is a disbeliever in Allah, the Exalted and Majestic, and he is a denier of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is because Allah the Most High says,
والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه.
And the first of the embrace Islam of the Muhajirun, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, the citizens of Al-Madina, who helped and gave aid to the Muhajirun, and also those who followed them exactly in faith, Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Him.
Okay, stop here, inshallah. Before we go to the next ayah. There are Muhajirun, and there is Ansar. And this is what come after the birth of Islam. And the Muhajirun are in the highest status because they sacrificed everything. They went to Medina what? Zero. What happened to their wealth? Quraysh confiscated. And some of them lost their families, some members. Even the story, the famous story of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. You know the Umm Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her and her husband from different tribes, they embraced Islam. This is before she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And their son Salam. So when they came back to Mecca after the Hijrah, so the people realized that, hey, these are, you know, become Muslims, so let's separate them. Abu Salama went back to Medina, Hajar ila al-Madina, and she wanted to follow him. He said, the family of Abu Salama came. He said, hey, this is our son. So the family of Umm Salama, this is our son. And usually, and by the urf, by the culture, the son goes to the father's family. So they said, hey, we need our son. This is not your son. And he was a few years old. So both of them fought, and they would start pulling the boy from one side and the other one pulling their side, his side. And in the narration that they dislocated his shoulder because of that react. And then the family of the father, Abu Salama, took, and they went to their tribe, and Umm Salama to her tribe sat, and she stayed in this for like months. Every day she goes out in the horizon of Mecca looking at the far, where is her crying, weeping for her husband that who is cannot come back to Mecca because his life will be in danger, and for her son that has been taken by the tribe of the family of the father, because now they are considering them, you know, this belongs to us, and everybody goes their way because all this because what? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a way and softened the heart of some people from the tribe who came and they talked to the family and they brought the son to his mother and they let her leave Mecca on foot without except little provision. How many kilometers, brother? Over 300 to 400 kilometers on foot in the desert with a son. Until she starts marching to go to Medina to join her husband. When Uthman ibn Talha, before he was a Muslim, he saw her in the middle of nowhere. He said, "What is your destination?" Brothers, you know, they had at the time something called Shahama, Nakhwa. Something, I don't know what is the meaning in English. You know, the Shahama and Nakhwa is you will never let a woman travel by herself. And at the same time, even though she's foreign to you, they will protect this woman as they protect their honor. To the level, as according to, if you can look into the book of Hadith, and as how she described her journey with Uthman, that he had a camel, and he will, عندما ينيخ الناقة, you know, when he brings the camel down, he will step aside until she gets settled, so it takes her time to go down. She's going to feel uncomfortable to get on top of the camel, and then when she's ready for the journey, he goes back again, pick up the camel and march. And then when it's time for her, for example, she wants to get some rest and she wants to use bathroom out of nowhere. All right, this is our mother we're talking about. He will bring the camel down and walk away from the camel until, look at this nakhwa. These days you see some woman in the middle of nowhere stranded. Oh, you know, you want to prove now you want always something in return, isn't it? Astaghfiruka Rabbi wa tawbah alayhi. Something in the old Arabian times was really one of the high characters that they respect the honor. To them it is something big. Until he reached the outskirts of Medina, when it's within reach, he let her get off the camel and said, your destination is the city right there, Yathrib. And he went back. And how long is this journey, brother? A week? A week and more? And the same thing, imagine, she said that she never seen more, like someone with dignity and respect and honor than this man of man. And he was what? Mushrik. Mushrik. We need to learn from these things. You know what we're missing, brothers? Is we don't look in the books of Sirah. We are so busy in our life, we don't even bother to look into the books and read about these great names. These names, wallahi, their names should be written in gold. In gold. And when I say gold, even gold is nothing. That's why Allah has started with al-muhajirun wal-mustabiqun al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin. Those muhajirin, those who have given everything for themselves. There's nothing. And al-ansar came after. Why? Because they gave them support, brothers. What happened to our countries when there is fight? And some immigrants, you know, refugees, they call them, right? They go to the other country, politics kick in. They put them into camps. Camps, maybe the animals will not live in it. And I'm saying that from our own country, which is a shame. We cannot open the, you know, because everything is now controlling us, what? The nationality. We put our Islamic ID, which is all my Jum'ah khutbah is all about this Islamic ID. We abandoned our Islamic ID and replaced it with nationality ID. So asbah, everyone is national A, national B, national C, and A doesn't get along with B, B doesn't get along with C, and politics and all these things cause the, you know, hate and fight and enmity. When it should be what? When someone is in hurt, you open the door. Come on. You know, like I just want to mention this. When this problem in Syria happened, they were given like a report, you know, like without them knowing that being recorded on camera. So they ask the people, the public, you know, like, what do you think if we open the borders for the refugees? Different countries, without the names. But the last one is from Gaza. So I mentioned the boy from Gaza. So different countries, they all said, no, I think we have enough and it's going to be struggling for us on economy. First thing comes to the worry about economy and risk, and it's going to be tough and it's rarely job for us. And everybody found what? Excuse. You know, they came to a boy from Gaza. A boy, he's selling stuff on the road of Gaza. Gaza is under siege and under. And they said, we want to open the door for the Syrian here to come to us. They said, oh, Allah, they're welcome. And even if they have to look for a job, they can stand here next to us here on the sidewalk and sell with us. You know why he's saying that, brothers? Because he knows what does it mean when you are being under the hammer all the time. So he knows they are under the hammer. He feels it. But when you come and you're driving a Cadillac and living in a palace, definitely you're not looking at you now. I said, no, don't look at me now. Just saying, for example, I love you for the sake of Allah. But you, from your point of view, you will think, no, that doesn't belong to us. That's what makes Muhajirun, Muhajirun, Ansar. I want to stop here, inshallah. We'll continue, inshallah, next week. My 15 minutes is up. But more important that what we read from here, also try to bring it from our life. And what I'm telling you, this is from our life. Refugees everywhere. Tell me what country doesn't have refugees? You know, for example, the Burman. Who is next door? Is the Muslim country next to them?
Bangladesh.
They shut the doors in their face, and they left them under the knife of the Buddhists. True or not? Fact. Subhanallah. When Allah is teaching his Prophet ﷺ, he tell him what? When أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. Mushrik, not Muslim. Mushrik. Give him ijara. You know what ijara means? He's coming seeking your protection. Mushrik. He's coming, Ya Rasulullah, or Ya Muhammad. You don't believe Rasulullah. He said, Ya Muhammad, protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Ya Muhammad, when أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حتى يسمع كلام الله ثم أبلغه مأمنة. They don't want to believe. خلاص. ذلك بأنهم قوم لا يعقلون. They don't know. If they don't know, they know. As we, you heard the ayat. أتريدون أن تهدوا من أضل الله ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا. Didn't you hear the ayat? Right? Surah. So if Allah has misguided someone, who will guide him? No one. Right? So these people, they are coming knocking the door, being slaughtered and raped, and their villages being burned, and some of them being sold as humans. Where is the human rights? Where is the international law? Where is the United or the divided nations? And where all these people? Wallahi. But this is, brother, test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرحمنا وأن لا يجعل للمنافقين والكافرين والملحدين والمشركين والظالمين علينا سبيلا وأن يخرجنا من بين أظهرهم سالمين غانمين برحمتك يا رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.